The contrasts are startling. There's enough COVID vaccine in the U.S. to inoculate all eligible adults, teens, and adolescents several times over. Yet health officials here have to launch ad campaigns, knock on doors to convince people to get a shot. In other parts of the world, vaccines won't come for months or years. Here's Larry Modowo, a Kenyan man, speaking on CNN about recent deaths in his family.
I've kind of had this roller coaster of emotions between obviously heartbreak for losing family members, but also not just anger, outrage, because it was preventable. My uncle got COVID just last month and died within a few days. He didn't get vaccinated, so we can't help wondering if he did get a vaccine, maybe he would still be here. He was only in his 60s. He still had a whole life ahead of him.
And his grandmother is now on a ventilator, an item that is all too rare on the continent. Well, today we go to Africa, now experiencing its most deadly stage of the pandemic. New cases have been increasing for the last 2 months, and only a single percent of Africa's 1.3 billion people are fully vaccinated, as the Delta variant spreads quickly from country to country. For those who get COVID, at least one study shows people in Africa are more likely to die from its complications than patients in other parts of the world. In Zambia, only 0.4% of the population has been fully vaccinated. That's about 68,000 people out of nearly 18 million. Dr. Basim Berkland teaches medicine at the University of Zambia in Lusaka, where he also treats patients. He's affiliated with Seed Global Health, a not-for-profit that supports healthcare workers in developing countries. Dr. Berkland, welcome.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be on the program.
Well, it's an honor to speak with you. And we also want to bring in Dr. Vanessa Carey, a critical care physician at Mass General Hospital in Boston and co-founder of Seed Global Health. Dr. Carey, Vanessa, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
What is the picture in Africa?
Well, Africa is really seeing now its greatest surge of COVID cases since the pandemic began. Unfortunately, as the Delta variant spreads, it's incredibly infectious and contagious. The reality, too, is that there is a dire shortage of resources on the continent to address COVID, as well as a complete paucity of vaccines with which to protect the healthcare workforce that is trying to address the COVID burden there. We're seeing unnecessary deaths, and very importantly, we're seeing a lot of healthcare workers be put at risk because they don't have the protections they need. They don't have the vaccines. You know, Uganda in the last 2 weeks alone lost 16 physicians to COVID.
Well, and Dr. Berkland, you're there in Lusaka, in Zambia. How has life changed there because of the pandemic? What does it feel like there? And what's going on in your hospital?
Well, like many countries in Africa, Zambia is facing a very serious third wave of COVID-19 that is both larger and more deadly than previous waves we've had. And this has put additional stress on an already struggling healthcare system. You know, in the past month, Zambia has recorded some of the highest numbers of new cases in Africa. The government converted several hospitals into COVID-19 treatment hospitals, and our facility was one of them. Within a very short time, we watched as the bed occupancy went up in our wards. The ripple effect is huge. So, for example, as a large general hospital, our facility normally provides services to hundreds of people every day. Routine childhood vaccinations, delivery of babies, HIV and tuberculosis clinics. So where does the woman that's 8.5 months pregnant go? And where does the malnourished child go to be weighed?
Yeah, well, just to talk about the direct consequence of the surge, what's it like in the hospital? I mean, here in the U.S., we heard the beeping ventilators. We saw doctors and nurses in full hazmat. What's it like where you are?
These are large rooms with somewhere between 10 and 15 beds, very different to what you would see in the United States. Quite a small area with very few healthcare workers to look after them. Because of this, people are avoiding hospitals. They're presenting late with advanced COVID-19 infection. One patient we saw last week, he had been treated by relatives at home for several days using traditional remedies in fear that if he came to the hospital under those conditions, he would essentially lose contact with his family and never be discharged. And by the time he arrived at the hospital, he was so short of breath, we were not able to save him.
80%, we understand, of the deaths in Zambia are now COVID.
Yes. And in terms of the beeping machines and the sound of the ventilators, there's definitely not enough ventilators. But even if there was, we don't have sufficient number of healthcare workers with the advanced training and the skills to manage and use them as a life-saving intervention.
Well, this explains the death rate, too, going up. But are you vaccinated? Is your staff vaccinated? Because the population isn't vaccinated.
I am vaccinated along with a number of our medical residents, but not everyone is vaccinated, and not all healthcare workers are vaccinated.
115,000 healthcare workers have actually died in the COVID pandemic. And while that number may seem not particularly large when you think about the number of people who've died globally, which is over 4 million, the reality is that's over a million years of schooling. And that's hundreds of millions of patients that won't get care in this crisis moment because of that loss. And so the impact is quite significant.
Well, Dr. Carey, talk about a couple of things we just heard. African countries are relying primarily on COVAX, the global partnership that was supposed to deliver free doses, but the current estimate is that only 7% of Africans will be vaccinated by October. Pfizer just announced an agreement with a South African vaccine manufacturer to handle final stages of production there, but that's only starting next year. Why aren't there more vaccines available for over a billion people?
There's a lot of complex reasons. It has to do with international trade laws that have put patents in place that globally exist. So even though there is manufacturing capacity around the world in multiple different countries, there is not necessarily the licensing to be allowed to produce those vaccines. And I think also there's been kind of a race and vaccine nationalism by certain countries that accrued huge stockpiles of vaccines and are slow to release them to the places that are hardest hit. But the truth is that even if we had enough vaccines, we don't have necessarily the health workforce to deliver those vaccines. So for every dollar of donated vaccine, there's $5 more needed to deliver that vaccine, and $2.50 of that is just in healthcare workforce training and sort of support of the healthcare workers to do that. And so now there's been a system of pulling healthcare workers from other services to deliver vaccines, but then that means that women don't have somebody attending them in childbirth. We're not providing essential primary care. And there's been a number of studies that have shown there's been disruption of HIV/AIDS services. Lancet just came out with a study that showed that global and maternal fetal outcomes have actually worsened. So we know that there is a deep crisis looming. We can choose to invest in the fundamental structures to deliver better health, which is the healthcare workers. And that those healthcare workers can not only help us address COVID, but they can also outlast the pandemic to deliver the essential services and be ready for the next pandemic.
Well, Dr. Berkman, there in Zambia, what's the conversation when you hear that here in the United States, there are people who think vaccines are a hoax? I know there have been questions across the continent about different vaccines as well, but here in the U.S., we have surplus vaccines. The government's mounting huge campaigns, going door to door, trying to convince people to get the shot.
Unfortunately, this is really where we're at right now, and it's extremely inequitable, the distribution of vaccines. To date, less than 1% of our population has been vaccinated in Zambia. Many of these are high-risk healthcare workers still working unprotected.
Dr. Carey, when you talk about things that need to change, what has to change? You know, governments, you know, deciding that they're going to help. What has to change?
Well, I think there has to be truly, I think, a fundamental value shift of what we want to invest in as a global population. And there are countries that have led on this, really invested in health and well-being and poverty reduction. But I think that COVID has really demonstrated the absolute power and influence that health has on our everyday activities. It's the difference between whether or not we live in poverty and our ability to go to work, whether our children go to school, whether we have economic growth and development or even have security. And so if we take that lens, investing in health should be one of the greatest and biggest priorities that we make. Last year, billionaires made an additional $1.9 trillion or something in that range. As we have a race to space right now, between two billionaires, that money alone could be transformative for health outcomes for people around the world, because no one is safe until we're all safe.
And I ask you just briefly, your thoughts, your eye on Africa, hearing people here turn away the vaccines that they desperately need in Africa.
It is deeply painful to think about the deep need for vaccines. And so to see the surplus of vaccines not being shared globally is incredibly difficult. And to see people who have the opportunity to take a vaccine, which is life-saving, choose not to, is very difficult. We are in a global crisis, and we need to think about how do we collaborate globally to change the trajectory of this pandemic.
Dr. Vanessa Carey, co-founder of Seed Global Health, the not-for-profit that focuses on supporting and training healthcare workers in developing nations, and Dr. Basim Birkeland, who practices and teaches medicine in Lusaka, Zambia. Thank you both so much, and best to you and your work.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And for more information on Seed Global Health and its work in sub-Saharan Africa, go to hereandnow.org.